there. And he looked at me and smiled and said, I'm going to be doing my best to act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with my God. And I've never forgotten that, and in part because that should be what we're seeking to do no matter where we go, no matter what we're doing, no matter who we're with. And as I spent time thinking about that in conjunction with communion today, I think that there's a powerful message that we can be reminded of each time we come to the Lord's table. So, the question that is asked in this scripture is, what does God require of you? What does God require of you? Now, as a lot of times we say, well, what can we really give God? How are we going to give God anything that makes any difference? Well, God gives us the answer right here. And the first one is, as we've already said, to act justly. Another way I think of saying that is just do what's right. And we know, for the most part, what's right and what's not. But biblically, as Christians, this goes a step further. Because I believe it's doing what's right according to God's plan. So acting justly is doing what's right according to God's plan. And we can think about a lot of social justice issues. I'm not going to harp on those today, but those would be included here. And there are people that are mistreated. There are things that aren't done appropriately. And we, if God leads us, we're to stand for those in the way God calls us to. And so I'm not saying those aren't important, but that's not where I was led to focus today. In fact, today I'm drawn back to Pastor Ronnell and the time that I spent with him on Sunday. Because you see, doing what's right, and as a pastor of a church that was just burned to the ground, I'm not sure exactly how the fire got started, but you would think that the just and right thing as a pastor is to lead his congregation in rebuilding and offering that place for people to come to be the church that they have been. And it would just make sense. But when we are willing to act justly and to do what's right according to God's plan, that's when things happen like happened when I had the conversation with my friend, Pastor Ronnell. When he said, you know, Greg, the church is going to take care of itself and it's going to be okay and we're going to rebuild and there are people that are just insisting on being a part of that. But really what God's about right now, really where my heart is, really what I want you to know about is this transition home. And the reason it's there is because it's just a few short years and we have orphans in Source of Light Orphanage right now that if that transition home isn't ready in a few short years, they're going to be put back out on the street. And by the way, there are orphanages all over Haiti. But the majority of those orphanages are doing just what Pastor Ronnell has said he doesn't want to happen with Source of Light. And that's that they've taken care of these children for this long and they've hopefully helped them to understand who God is. But then they reach a certain age and they just don't have the resources to continue to do that for everybody. So they're literally turned out to the streets. But what Source of Light and the leadership there does, it says, you know, we need to go a step further. So we're going to offer this transition home. We're going to buy property. We're going to rebuild a place that these boys and girls, once they've reached that age out period, that they go here and we're going to have people come in and teach them vocational skills. And they're going to be things they're going to learn. And we're going to help put them in places where they can have jobs and they can offer something to their community. And then they can actually be a part of giving back in the way Source of Light has given to them. That's what it means to act justly. That's what it means to be passionate. That's what it means to do what is right. I had someone, I just mentioned it, didn't tell this whole story. And someone said to me just this week, you know, I wish that Haiti could be a place that people could give and you could really make a real difference. But you can't make any real difference as long as there's corruption in the government there. And they didn't say it, but it was almost as if, why try? Because it's not going to make much difference. I tell you, Pastor Ronnell and the people of Source of Light and the people that we've met are making a difference. and not just a difference in their community, they're making an eternal difference in people's lives. They are a model for me and what I want to be about in my life. And I hope that provides an example for you. That's acting justly. The next one is love mercy. And I would describe that as showing compassion and forgiveness. You know, when Jesus went to the cross, well, first of all, when he went to the cross, and this goes back, and I forgot to include this with the acting justly part. Jesus went and he prayed. And do you remember what Jesus Christ himself prayed to God the Father before he went to the cross? Do you remember what he asked God? What? Yeah, can this cup be taken from me? God, can I not do this? Jesus did not want to, the human part of him did not want to die on the cross. But it was God's plan that he would, so he went through with it. Jesus gave that example. And then I said Ronell gave that example, so it's God's plan. That's how it's connecting with us at communion today. But then as we move to love mercy, in the passage that we will include in or has been included in the crucifixion, Jesus says on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love and mercy. Act justly, love mercy. Now, did Jesus say, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do and they deserve it? So are we only supposed to forgive the people that really deserve to be forgiven or are going to try to do better? Did Jesus die just for the people that are in church all across the country this morning? He's offering forgiveness to anyone that will take it, and none of us deserve it. That's an example of what it means to love mercy. And that's provided for us through Christ. A way that this has happened to me recently, I don't know how many of you have seen it, but driving to Lynchburg, there's a billboard that says, one in five children faces hunger. Have y'all ever seen that? One in five children, I'm sure that's not the only billboard, but one in five children faces hunger. And I've seen it several times, and I think about it a little bit when I see it, but it hadn't really stirred me that much. I think it's probably true. Not sure exactly all the statistics behind it, but then yesterday I did something. My boys and I went to the food pantry right down the road. And we went there. Jesse had told us sometimes they don't have enough people to help. Turns out they had quite a few there yesterday. But we went. And as we went, and I got there early. Jesse said the biggest help sometimes is needed before they ever get started. The doors kind of open up at 9 o'clock to start passing out the food. But he said we set up around 8. So I get there at 8, and I'm surprised because there's cars everywhere. There's a line of people stretched back from the building an hour before the building opens to get a bag full of groceries that they don't even know what's in it. And in that line, there are several children. I don't know if those children are really going to be hungry or not. Hopefully, we're a part because of our support of the food pantry that maybe they won't be in that statistic in this month of one in five that are hungry. But it did something to me when I know there are times I've complained about having to stand more than 5 minutes in the checkout line at Food Lion to buy whatever food I wanted. And there were people that stood yesterday right down the street from us for an hour to get a bag of groceries that they didn't even know what was in it because they wanted to be able to feed their families. When you allow God to move, when you make decisions to try to seek God, He will show you things that generate compassion and love in your heart, in your soul, that comes from Him. When I see that sign now that says one in five children faces hunger, I now see faces of children that I saw at the food closet. And I know that God wants me to be a part. And somehow, and I don't know specifically what it is right now, but I'm open to listen. So, act justly, love mercy, and then finally, walk humbly with your God. You know, the crucifixion was a harsh thing. It was a main form of death and capital punishment, persecution, in Jesus' time. But you know, the nails going through his wrist and his feet weren't the most painful part for Christ. The most painful part came, and he said it on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The thing that was more painful for him than anything else was when he no longer had that relationship with Jesus Christ, because he had accepted the sins, our sins, on him to pay the price. And because of that, God himself had to turn his back on his son, because God cannot be a part of sin. That was what the most painful part of the crucifixion was. So Jesus knew in that moment what it was to be separated from God. For us, we don't ever have to be separated from God. God invites us. In fact, here God requires us to walk humbly with him. And you know, we can't even do the first two, really. We can't act justly. We can't love mercy, because those involve God's plans and those involve God doing something in our heart. We can't really even do those if we aren't walking humbly with our God. So what does that really mean? Humbly, it means that it's not all about you. We're walking with God. And a word that I've heard a lot recently is the word entitlement. And a lot of times we'll use that and we say, people want this, people expect this, they think they're entitled to this, and it shouldn't happen. We shouldn't be just given handouts because people think they deserve it, just because they think they deserve this type of thing. Well, sometimes as Christians, as believers, we have that sense of entitlement too. We come to God and say, God, we've done all this the way we're supposed to, so we deserve this. We don't deserve anything. Everything we have is by God's grace and mercy, and we should humbly walk with God in such a way that we give ourselves to him, not expect things from him. And then your plans, if they're not of God, will not have long-term significance in the way they will if we allow God to be a part of our everyday life. And then the last part I want to focus on there, it said, walk humbly. And so just a little preposition, with. Have you ever walked with someone? I'm asking that. Have you ever walked with someone? I want to demonstrate this. I need a volunteer. Who am I going to get to volunteer? Christian, come here. I want you to walk with me, okay? Did Christian walk with me? Okay, you can have a seat. Thank you, bud. So, when you walk with someone, and I was trying to trick him, I was trying to make Christian be behind me, but he stuck with me the whole time. When you walk with someone, you're beside them. Sometimes we think we're walking with God, but this is how we do it in our lives. We'll say we're going to walk with God, but then we sit down and we try to see, all right, we try to figure out what we're supposed to do. God, where, and so we analyze and we do all this stuff and we try to figure out what's supposed to happen and all this, and we're not really walking with God. We're allowing God to go in front in a way we're trying to then figure things out. Or either we're one of those control people, not that I really know any of them, that we go ahead of God and say, God is, all right, I'm up here. You want me to go this way or this way? God, you want me to go this way or this way? That's not how it works when we walk with God. In fact, I'm married to a woman that once upon a time, this is a long time ago because I learned my lessons better now, that she used to say, why don't you walk with me? Because I would have some on my mind and I was ready to go, and before I know it, she's way back here. And then there are other times that I just may not keep up. But there's a difference. Why did she want me to walk with her? Because when we walk with each other, we're sharing a relationship. We're not simply going to the same place. As we walk, we're sharing something together. We're growing. We're a different person, different couple, different pair when we get to that destination because of the trip we've made walking with each other. That's what God desires, is that we walk humbly with Him. So, are you going to do that? Are you going to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? I asked a question in the bulletin. What does this mean for you and for Woodland? How does our future change if we do this? If we truly act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly, how does it really change? I can tell you it's going to get better. I can't tell you specifically what it is, but I can tell you it'll make a different future, and God already knows what it is. I'm going to ask our deacons to come up here and sit on the pews. Dave's already ahead of time, but our deacons to come up, and we're going to take part in communion at this time. And as we do take part in communion, I'll just give a few instructions, reminders for those who may have heard this before. Communion isn't a time where we get our nutrition. It's not a time to get filled up with food, and it says that in the scripture. We get to do that with our lunch that we're going to have, which is going to be really good, which I know all of you are staying for. And as we come today, it's a reminder. In fact, does anybody know what's under here? I'm going to raise it up in a minute, but what does this say? In remembrance of me, you had it right. And Dave was quoting scripture for us. Because in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, it says, "And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given to you. This do in remembrance of me.'" So, as we come to the table, I pray that we will remember the things Jesus did for us. One of the last things that I'll share about that is, you know what Jesus did before he ever even broke the bread or had this conversation when the disciples were there? He did something for the disciples. He washed their feet. He served them. As we come to the table and do this in remembrance of Christ, it's not just remembering that he died on the cross for us. It's remembering how he lived and how we're to live and what Christ requires of us. And he gave everything. Don't you think we can give just a little bit back to him? Invite our deacons. Thank you. gave your body for me and for each of us. And God, we thank you for that. And may we live in such a way that continues to give testimony to who you are in our lives, to the justice that you represent, to the mercy that you desire to give, and to the relationship you desire to have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This do in remembrance of him. Matthew 26, verses 26 through 30 say, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, 'Take this and eat. It's my body.' Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of this vine from now until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the beginning of us knowing anything about what forgiveness really is as it's connected to Jesus Christ. And forgiveness, as we as believers understand it to be, mean nothing without this truth. And it's not always easy, because you know, at this same time, at this same meal, there was a disciple named Peter who told Jesus, "Jesus, where are you going? What's going to happen to you? I'm not going to let anything happen to you. I will die with you." That's how passionate and committed Peter was. But what happened? Jesus told him, "Peter, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me." There are times we come to this place and we get passionate and we're ready to live the way God wants us to, but we slip and we mess up. God knows that's going to happen, but God gives us an opportunity. And Jesus, while what he said about Peter came true, he also fulfilled the promise that on Peter, the rock, he was to build his church. In all of our mistakes, in all of our shortcomings, God still desires to use us. And that is the reason Jesus died on the cross and offers us forgiveness. This is a representation of his blood spilled for you and for me. Take ye and drink. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back and we'll have our closing hymn. And as we do, this is a time of what we call invitation. And I'm not the one doing the inviting. God does the inviting. God is always doing that. But there are times in the midst of that inviting, he desires for us to stand up and show others that he is that important in our lives as an example, but also as a sense of accountability. Or maybe just because we have questions and we're not sure what's going on, but we know we want something different in our lives. Whatever it may be, I'm here at the front and willing to talk, pray with you if you desire. The altar's open. You don't have to come through me. You can come to the altar and pray as you feel led at this point. But if that invitation you're receiving from God right now involves coming publicly in any way, shape, or form, we're here to receive you and any decision that you might have to make. Let's stand together as we sing, "Pure in Heart, O God." Thank you. As we depart, I told you that we're ready for new people to come to our small groups today, so I want to share a little bit with you about that as you leave here. And I don't know how many of you may have ever felt like you don't have enough time in the day. Well, if that's something that you're struggling with and you want to see what the Bible and Scripture has to say about it, you don't have to go very far. It's the first classroom on the left as you go out. That's the study they're looking at right now. If you go straight, keep going straight down to the end of the hall, there's another Adult 2 class that's going through chapter by chapter the book of Mark. They would love to have you join them. There's a third adult class. It's fairly new. It's typically for young adults and for people that are relatively new to Woodland. I'm part of helping to lead that one. And we're looking at what we call the five love languages. A lot of times that is people think about that's for married people. We've come to realize that there's love languages for children. There's love languages for spouses. There's love languages for friends. There's love languages for the people you work with. And they're all different. And the Bible has something to say about that. That's down in the basement. There'll be people to direct you there if you want to go. We have children's Sunday school. We have youth Sunday school. We have a nursery. There's a place for everybody. And they're expecting you today. So please come and then join us for lunch. Lunch, just so you know the instructions. Not everybody gets out at the same time because some teachers are a little bit more long-winded than others. I'm not going to tell you this morning who they are because then you won't go to their class. But we're going to go ahead, as you get out of your small group, you can go ahead, start eating lunch. We'll have our blessing, our prayer, once everybody gets there. Not that way we won't have some long line waiting. But thank you for being here for worship today. Thank you ahead of time for coming and being involved in what we're doing today. And Lord, we just thank you for the blessings of togetherness, for who you are. And may we be a representation of that for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can y'all tell how excited I got Melissa up here when she saw this song?
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel love,